you have your Bibles with you or devices, turn to Psalm 23. If there is any passage of Scripture, maybe two passages in the Bible that most everybody knows, the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm. And I would venture that most of us, we might get mixed up in the order of how the verses go, but we know the 23rd Psalm very well. Even people who didn't grow up in the church have heard this psalm, and they've maybe read it as a devotional. And I have to confess to you, I have been in the church so long that I memorized it in King James English. And so sometimes when I use different translations, I have the NIV in front of me, and I was looking it over and I thought, well, that's not the way I learned it. That's not it at all. So I sometimes switch back and forth between translations. But the meaning is there. And even though you may have read the 23rd Psalm, maybe you would be open to some new understandings of what the psalmist David was saying and how it applies to us today. And you know, that's where it's really important. It's not just what it meant back, you know, 3,000 years ago or when David wrote this. It's how does it apply to my life today, all of Scripture. We need to look at it and ask those questions. What difference does this make in my life, and how can I learn from this, and how can I grow from this today? So follow along with me. Let me just read through the whole 23rd Psalm, and then let me, verse by verse, just take it apart a little bit, and I promise that I won't outstay my battery life. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. King James says, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet streams. He refreshes my soul, or waters, quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ring some bells? Maybe it's been a while since you've read it, but you hear those same verses again, and it reminds you of what it's saying. Of course, the culture of the day, David was a shepherd boy. Long before he was king, he was a shepherd, and he had a herd of sheep out on a hillside, and he actually lived with the sheep. It wasn't that they had fenced-in areas and they just let them go and went back home every night. David had a little tent that he carried along with him or laid underneath the stars, and he watched over the sheep day and night for many times weeks at a time. He was out there, he was in the trenches with the sheep. And he would get to know those sheep. He would get to know them very well. And it was his responsibility to take care of them, to watch over them, to make sure that they're safe, to make sure that they didn't get into any trouble, that one didn't wander away. And so there were several things that David did as a shepherd that parallel to what God does to us, because the Scripture tells us we are the sheep of his pasture. He is the great shepherd. He watches over us. He knows us so well. He knows us individually by name. So when it starts out, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I remember a story of a little girl who was memorizing this psalm, and she would memorize it. The Lord is my shepherd, what more could I want? And even though she didn't have the right words, she had the right sentiment. What more could we want? We would lack nothing as with God as our shepherd. And I don't think that we fully comprehend how much God cares about every area of our lives. the things that sometimes we think are insignificant. If God watches over and sees even when a sparrow falls out of the sky, don't you think that God sees every area that affects our lives and is concerned even more? It says in the scripture, he clothes the lilies. He's the one who makes the lilies so beautiful. And if he cares about the birds of the field and the flowers of the field, how much more does he care about you and about me and about everything that affects us? So we can say, like the psalmist proclaimed, "The Lord is my shepherd. What more could I want?" The second verse says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Just a question. Has anybody here ever raised sheep? Okay. Well, I was told by people who raise sheep, and my dad used to raise sheep. He had some when I was a little boy. That really it's not that great of a compliment that when God says we are the sheep of his pasture, because they're not the brightest animals. Maybe you've heard that. And when the shepherd goes and says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, sheep are very skittish and they're nervous animals. And for sheep to lie down in a pasture, they have to be firmly convinced that everything is taken care of and that they are safe. And what a picture of our Heavenly Father who watches over us and takes care of all of those things and says, "It's okay. I got it covered. There's no need for you to worry. There's no need for you to be nervous." And sometimes it's not about something that's seen, but it's something that's unseen or unknown. How many times in our lives do we get nervous about something that never transpires and yet we're worried about it? And God says, "Don't worry. I got it covered. He is watching out for you and for me." So he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. Sheep don't like running water. I like deer hunting, and you get to know deer. They don't like running water either. In fact, deer would rather drink from a muddy little puddle than they would from a fresh flowing stream. But that's the way they are. They get real skittish around running water. The noise, the movement, and sheep don't like that. And sometimes for good reason, because sheep with a full coat of wool, if they fall into running water, the water soaks into that, makes them very, very heavy, and they can sink. And they don't have the greatest balance, especially in moving water. And so sheep can drown very easily in that kind of a situation. So they won't go close to a running stream. The shepherd has to go ahead of them and kind of dam up a little area where the water pools up and is calm. And then the sheep will come and they'll drink. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. What a picture of again, how the shepherd, our Heavenly Father, watches out for us and provides for us just exactly what we need. It's a good reason why we're told to cast all of our burdens on him and to lay it all on him, because he will carry us through difficult times. The scripture goes on to say, "He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." You know, the sheep are known by who's their shepherd. And the shepherd is the one who has got his name on the flock. When we are the sheep of his pasture, it's his name on the line. So he will guide us and he will lead us. That's why he says that if you lack wisdom, ask, and I'll give you the wisdom you need. If you lack guidance and direction, ask. And knock, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. And that's the way it is. God wants you to have the right direction. in making decisions, sometimes very consequential decisions, it's incumbent on us to ask and to say, God, give me direction. And he said he would. Even though I walk through the valley, oh, there I switched over to the King James, the valley of the shadow of death, the NIV calls it the darkest valley. There probably couldn't be anything more dark than a valley that has impending death written all over it. There were times when the shepherd would take his sheep through areas where predators would lay in wait, mountain lions, coyotes, and they had certain places where they had the advantage over the sheep. And sometimes that was the only way to get from this area of grazing to this area was through that valley of the shadow, the unknown around every corner. And yet the scripture says, he leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. And even though I walk through that valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You are there. I love the picture of Jesus out on the stormy waters in the ship with his disciples, and he's asleep in the hold of the ship, and the disciples are getting really upset and worried that they are going to get the waves are going to come over the side and they're going to go down. And so they go down and they wake up Jesus. Jesus, aren't you worried about this? And he says, no, not really. I can see the storm. And then he calls out to the storm, okay, enough. And the waves calm and the wind stops. And they look at him and it's like total disbelief. How is this possible? How is he able to have control over the elements, the wind and the waves, and yet he can lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, and he is with us. He will be there to protect us. No need to worry. He's got it covered. He's the good shepherd. The next part of the fourth verse, the last part, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Unless you understand, that can sound like maybe a little bit of a contradiction. There were two instruments that a shepherd carried with him all the time. The rod was usually a stick, probably 2 feet long. Sometimes it was one that was cut out of a tree that had a big knob in it, and so it would be a kind of a club on one end and a narrow stick, and then they would tie a leather band around that so that they could tie it from their waistband. It always kind of dangled from their waist. And it was there to defend the flock. It was never used against the sheep. No shepherd would go out and beat his own sheep. And the staff was a long staff. Maybe you saw me when I gave one to Pastor John when he was first installed here as pastor. The staff is the typical shepherd staff that we always think of, and we sometimes don't understand what the significance of that. It was really just a walking stick. The shepherd did a lot of walking and walking with the sheep, and so he would lean on it and get the weight off his feet, and it was something that was iconic to the sheep. They recognized it, and they could see it standing above the shepherd, the crook of that staff. And they could identify that the shepherd is here with us. It's okay. The shepherd's here to protect us. And there would be times where the sheep would come and they would walk along. Some of you have cats, and you know how a cat will come and just kind of rub itself along your leg. And sometimes dogs will do that. More often cats, but sheep will do that. They'll walk up next to the shepherd and just, they'll rub against that staff, and then you can understand when it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I realize that the shepherd is here. He's here to watch over me. He's here to take care of me. Just the knowledge that he's there lets me rest. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. the area where the sheep would be grazing was often called a table land. And preparing that table was important. The shepherd would go ahead and he would check it out. And if there were noxious weeds, he'd literally go through and he'd pull them out and discard them. He would prepare the table so that when the sheep came to graze, there wasn't anything there that was going to hurt them. Nothing poisonous. And in the same way, again, the care of our Heavenly Father for us in providing for us just what we need. He prepares the table for us. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God the supplier. And then the last part of verse 5, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Just before David closes out this psalm, he hits two more points. And if you understand, again, what a shepherd did in those days, they at the end of a trip, they would bring the sheep back into the fold or into a corral area, a pen. And so he would lead them in, and then he would sit by the gate, the entrance to that gated area, and he would one by one minister to each one of the sheep as they came through. What he would do is he would take his fingers and he would run through the wool, and he'd be looking for cuts or scrapes, and then he would take out of the oil and he would pour the oil on there to disinfect that. And he'd also look for, and this is going to be a little bit gross, hang with me, but there were flies that would fly up inside the nose of these sheep. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And they actually would lay eggs up in there and just drive the sheep crazy. And so the shepherd would make a salve out of oil, and he would actually stick his finger up in the nose and apply that salve in there, and the flies didn't like it. They would leave. And the sheep would be happy. And then he would take a cup of water, and he would take, and individually, he would hold that cup, and each one of the sheep would come by and drink out of that cup. My cup overflows. It's no wonder that he ended the psalm by saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who'd want to leave? It was a place that God had provided and prepared. It was safe. It was something that would supply all of the needs of the sheep. And again, how do we apply that today? We rest in the fact that God knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what we're going through. And He cares. And He will supply. My God shall supply all your needs. You know that verse out of Philippians, it really, sometimes we stop and we say, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches. He's not dependent on any employer. He's not dependent on any program. He's not dependent on anything on this earth. My God will supply according to His resources. His resources. And if you think of God, our God has any problems with finances, you think again. Think about the Israelites going across the wilderness. They got manna coming down from the sky every day. Water coming out of rocks. I mean, miraculous supply. When they get tired of manna and they started complaining, there were so many quail that they could hardly walk. Now, I love hunting quail. I've never seen them that thick. They didn't have shotguns. They just had little clubs. My God will supply all your needs. And you can't begin to imagine how He's going to do it. But He will. He is the good shepherd. He loves His people. And He will supply. I would like, I'd like to close this time by having you just stand with me. And would you quote the Lord's Psalm, or the 23rd Psalm with me? And if you have a different translation, it's going to be okay. It'll all just kind of blend together. I'll read it out of the NIV. I think most of you have that translation. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and for the promises that are included. And we take them to heart. This is for us today. You know exactly where we are. You know every situation in each one of our lives. And you know how this applies to us. I pray that as we go through this week, that we'll be reminded of your promises, that you will supply all of our needs. You are our shepherd. We shall not want. Jesus, we commit ourselves into your care, and we pray for your blessing to continue from this day forward. We ask it and we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you.